Radio.
Hello and welcome to CryptoCurrent, the only podcast to bring you beginner and advanced knowledge of cryptocurrency and blockchain, analyses of cryptocurrency markets, and discussions on growing a business within the crypto space. Stay tuned and stay CryptoCurrent.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of CryptoCurrent. Got a special treat with you today. We have one of our speakers that is going to be at the upcoming CryptoCurrent conference, March 15th, 2019. We have Benjamin left with us. Mr. Ben, how you doing today? Excited to have you on the show.
Excited to be here, Richard. Doing great. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Man, I'm doing well, man. I'm excited that everything's coming together for this conference, that there's been some, you know, decent news in the crypto space and the blockchain space of things that are going on that has me feeling optimistic. So I'm having a pretty good day, man. But really excited to get all of our listeners to learn more about you, man. So can you give us a little bit about yourself, Ben? Can you tell us about, you know, who you are and what you do and how you got into crypto?
Sure. So, who I am, I'm a New Orleanian, born and raised. I went to Brother Martin. So for any of the local podcasters listening, shout out to the Crusaders. That being said, I went out to work in the oil and gas industry, worked, you know, all the way up into sales, working throughout many different divisions, from project management to supply chains, and then again to sales and sales management, and realized that I had a true passion for meeting and networking with people. However, I found it pretty dull, the people themselves and the products and services I was selling in the industries that I was in. In 2013, I heard about Bitcoin. Friends at that time could still mine it, or anyone could still mine it on computers. And in 2014, made my first buy and just became obsessed, for lack of a better word, about the market. And in early 2018, got my first big break. So that four-year gap, I was, you know, working traditional jobs in regular markets, and I was spending every bit of my spare time inside of social media channels, a lot of crypto-specific ones, volunteering for ICOs and projects as a community manager, a moderator, an admin. And I got a big break for an ICO last year, and went full-time into the crypto space and have not looked back since. It's been a wild ride, certainly in 2018, but I woke up January 1st, 2019, feeling really bullish. So we'll see how this year looks.
That's great. I mean, as you said, 2018 was definitely a roller coaster, but, you know, you have a very optimistic look and a bullish look for this year. So that is very encouraging. And you said that, you know, you were able to get away from the traditional side and you're able to start doing your own thing. Can you tell us a little bit about your company and what you do and how you've been able to get more involved into the cryptocurrency and blockchain space?
Sure. So, you know, one goal of mine was always to be my own boss. I think everybody at one point in their life or another wants that as an option, or at least as a goal. However, it can be extremely difficult. So, you know, one thing I learned to get started, of course, was you need industry experience. You need to build up a reputation for yourself, put something tangible together. You're building a brand, and it's hard to build a brand around a person without having some type of credibility, you know, something tangible to show for yourself, whether that be someone vouching for you or, you know, you being listed on several projects. So a lot of, you know, my work in the ICO space and doing ICO consulting and working with partners internationally, tokenizing several products and projects, what I realized is, you know, I'm moving basically as a consultant from project to project, and that's wonderful. However, it's not helping me increase brand awareness for myself. So I launched Left Ventures, which, you know, kind of encapsulates everything that not only I have learned, but along with my strategic network together, everything from VC raising all the way to white paper writing, auditing, and everything like that, kind of to become a facilitator of sorts. So even if I'm incapable of performing the services provider requested, a big part of what Left Ventures is, and I want to grow it to become even stronger in, is a networking opportunity or hub. So if we're not able to help you directly, we know the people who can, and we'll make those proper introductions.
Awesome. So just kind of recap that, the best way that, you know, with Left Ventures that you're doing is that you're being like a great facilitator of people or making the connections to be able to get whatever you need done, right? So let's say I have a company and I really want I want to integrate blockchain into some of my system and processes. I would come to you and you would be able to introduce me to the people that could make that a reality.
Sure. Everything from smart contract creators to, you know, supply chain logistics leaders, whatever it is you wanted to do with your company and blockchain, stuff like that. Yes, absolutely. That's exactly what it is. All the way from token generation to distribution.
Oh, that's incredible, man. Can you, so with doing that, with injecting yourself into the crypto and blockchain space and having to network with a ton of new opportunities, can you give me a little bit of some of the community building tactics that you did to like grow your network and grow your audience so that more people know about Left Ventures?
Sure. So what, you know, for right now, what I've been focusing on with Left Ventures is doing exactly what I'm doing right now, speaking on podcasts, getting involved in conferences, and, you know, again, very much looking forward to the CryptoCurrent one coming up in March. And really just spreading the word, letting my work speak for itself. People within crypto, you know, once they go to my website, they're able to see other projects that we're on. My goal and the way I've kind of designed the site itself is it kind of gives a history of what I've done, where I've been, and what I can do for you. And the way I want to spread that message is by a grassroots campaign. So I'm not out there doing a lot of paid advertising. I am reaching out strategically to companies that I know that probably could use my services. And I'm also doing a lot of word of mouth referrals. I feel that nothing speaks better than a testament from a previous client.
No doubt. So with everyone that you've met and with all the various clients that you've been able to interact with, give me some different crypto projects that has you excited, or what is something that you've come across you're like, wow, this is really cool?
So the coolest thing I've seen, and it is a crypto project per se because it was tokenization of a food industry, but I had the opportunity to go to Vietnam twice last year and help out with an agricultural project. And essentially what's going on over there is a large amount of quality assurance and quality control over the food supply. They want everything grown inside Vietnam and brought to markets fresh. So, you know, of course, like I said, this is a private project, but it was one of the most fascinating use cases I've seen because the country was behind it. And what happened is, I worked with a company to buy, you know, tens of thousands of hectares of land and start buying out farmers and digitizing their farms. So we would actually take their inventory, put everything into a website, or we actually built a marketplace or a bazaar, they called it, for these farmers. And we taught them how to upload all of their data, as by data, their crop yield, onto the site on a daily, weekly basis, whatever they would like. And that way, anytime somebody wants to know, you know, from within the city, what's available from the marketplace, because in a country like Vietnam, even the five-star restaurants, the food that you're eating is being brought in that morning from the farms to the market, and they're buying it that day and preparing it.
Wow.
So it's all still very fresh, very farm to market. So now what this project was able to do was decrease the amount of waste that's been going on with the food there, because farmers would just bring in a whole bunch of crops not knowing what was going to sell at the market.
Right.
And now people are actually able to place orders. They're able to send over tokens in escrow in order to hold a certain amount for their product. the farmer gets to the market, they are met, they immediately, you know, transfer goods over to the buyer. Everything's done through a smart contract. It completes out once both parties make the agreement, and that's it. And it has helped control the quality. So whoever buys it knows exactly what farm, you know, the coffee bean may be coming from, and they can trace it all the way back, you know, to its origins, which I think is incredible. So that is something that I was really just proud to be a part of, because it was a social good project.
No doubt. I mean, not just, yes, a social good project, but being able to show just how a product, where it starts from and where it ultimately ends up, and then having that be built on blockchain and then finding a way to tokenize it. So how did you, like, as you were pitching this, or as you were like kind of going through it, like how did you like present this to where they were like, you know, having to work with the country to like put this together? Like, how were you able to put this together for them to be like, yes, we want to move forward with this?
So it actually went the other way around. I had been to Vietnam prior and met with an individual who was going to be doing this project, and he had mentioned it to me the first time I was there. And I had the pleasure of meeting the Prime Minister of Finance at the time, and they were going through a lot of conversation with regards to education and agriculture to help stimulate the economy. And what I was called back for was simply to help tokenize the business model that they had already put together. So it wasn't at all anything about me pitching the idea. It was, in this particular case, the country was actually interested, and the person I was with, you know, was working with members of the government to help make this a reality.
Wow, that's super interesting, man. And like the fact that it works, and you're saying that it works. How does this potentially scale to other countries? Is this going to be a model that can be duplicated and replicated, you know, internationally?
I think so. I use the analogy of, you know, a country like Kenya or Ethiopia. There was no reason to ever build landlines, because by the time they were ready for phone service, everything was wireless. So it's almost like it skipped a whole generation of the dial-up and everything like that. And the whole country started wireless. Same with internet. Everything went broadband. There was no reason for a lesser internet service provider when there were better things out there. So what I see, especially in burgeoning countries or countries that have a difficult time keeping control of, in this particular case, their food and supplies, or, you know, in an even more complicated case, we would use Venezuela from a financial perspective. But I think it could be rolled out, you know, very easily. That being said, it requires a lot of due diligence. There is a lot of vetting going on, and that's from the government to the company to the farms. The farms have to be certified, things like that. Very much a USDA type, or an FDA, I should say, type of procedure. People may think of a lot of these countries having, you know, dirtier food quality and things like that. It's really not true. The food quality is fantastic. They're just trying to figure out a way to maintain it. So I would love to have the opportunity to take this same model and bring it to other countries and tokenize it, because it has really helped transform the way, you know, a lot of farmers and businesses are interacting in Vietnam.
No doubt, man. Well, that's one really cool project, as you said, that that definitely people should be on the lookout for, because I do see that as being something that can spread very fast. Additionally, man, I know that you have been working on all kinds of projects, and you've been able to see cool things just like the one you just mentioned. But in 2019, you kind of referred to having a very bullish outlook on where this can go and where it can grow. What are some things on the horizon of 2019 that you're on the lookout for and that you think other people should be watching for?
Regulations. That's what people should be looking out for. I was prepared for that January 1st, 2018, the day that the United States crypto traders started getting hit really heavily on their trades. And for a full year, I basically sat back and watched. There was a lot of ICO controversy, of course, in 2018. There were a lot of governments internationally making statements on blockchain. One thing that I think needs to be separated is blockchain and crypto or cryptocurrency. They are not intertwined. You can have a blockchain without having an underlying or an underpinning token or coin. And so, you know, with regards to regulations, I do look forward to a few of them. I am also terrified to see what could come of it. But that being said, there are a lot of crypto-friendly lobbyists out there. There are a lot of blockchain-friendly people in politics. And I myself am working with people on a grassroots level. We helped, you know, get 502 and 56, the House bills in Washington, passed. And they're coming up, I believe, to make some adjustments or amendments on those bills, which should hopefully pass as well. So what everybody should be on the lookout this year, STOs are going to be a big play. ICOs are going to be vetted out by the SEC. If you're a U.S. citizen, I believe that, you know, ICOs is kind of a dying market right now. It's a bit of a toxic term. That being said, let's see, there was an ICO that sold out in 15 minutes yesterday, the first successful one in a really long time. Wow. BitTorrent. Yeah, BitTorrent did an ICO yesterday. Okay. It sold out in 15 minutes. That's an anomaly nowadays. So, again, I'm looking forward to seeing what regulations are put in place, because we can't move forward without them, and no institutions are going to bring in all, you know, a lot of their money and a lot of their investors until that's put in place. And we're going to have to find some kind of common ground if we want, you know, crypto was born out of not so much anarchy, but decentralization. However, with mainstream adoption, that does bring in regulations and centralization and a bit of control. And that is something that needs to be addressed, but addressed carefully. So I'm very much looking forward to see how that plays out, and hopefully get my hands into to the pot and hopefully stirring some people in the right direction with regards to legislation.
Nah, that's incredible. The fact that, can you go back and touch on, you said you helped two bills pass. Can you kind of expand on that?
So I just worked, the main driver was from a good friend of mine, Brittany Kaiser. She's actually a Facebook whistleblower from Cambridge Analytica. But she was the first person in Wyoming to help get these bills passed, and ran a tremendous grassroots campaign through Twitter and through Facebook about taking, you know, data privacy back and things like that. And it all starts with, you know, legislation and the state of Washington, was so receptive of all of that. Now, that being said, you know, Oregon's opening up and becoming very friendly as well. So I'm very excited to see how that legislation is progressing, and working with Brittany and her team to move that forward on a more global scale, on a more national scale, excuse me.
That's cool, man. Because the regulations, as you said, that's what we need to not only just scale out everything that's happening with both cryptocurrency and blockchain, but to get the adoption that we're looking for, because a lot of big movers don't want to move until they know how the government's going to treat it. And another part of it, as you're being active, you're trying to lobby and you're trying to get things passed, I think more people need to take that initiative as well, because, you know, without these regulations going through, without people advocating and trying to push the agenda of getting the widespread adoption of these amazing technologies that I truly believe that the majority are going to ultimately help everyone, we have to set a foundation to get a lot of that accomplished. And it has to start with someone. So I'm glad that you are taking some of the initiative to go out and do that.
Absolutely. You know, it takes a village, and it's certainly not just me. There are plenty of bigger and greater actors out there. And one thing I would like to see is some of these early adopters, these, you know, your Bitcoin purchasers back in 2008, 9, 10, 11, I would love to see them you know, try to bring in more mass adoption by utilizing everything they've learned and all the successes they've had over the years and bring that into a more mainstream environment.
Absolutely. So again, Ben, I want to thank you for joining us today. But before you leave, I always ask all of our speakers to come on and leave a final thought that they want to leave with all of our listeners. And of course, this can be about anything within the crypto space, an old saying that like really resonates with you, but what's something that you want to leave with all of our listeners today?
Sure. I'll tie them both together, the old saying and how it regards to the crypto space. But what I would say is don't fear the unknown. There's always going to be plenty of skeptics, no matter how far along you are in technology. And the blockchain space is extremely vast and very unexplored at this point in time. So I would say to the listeners, take time to learn about the technology. Find good quality sources. There are several out there. If you don't know where to look, certainly check out my website, Left Ventures. I'm happy to shoot an email or perhaps send over a link to you, Richard. You can post it somewhere with some actual solid quality information because there's a lot of misinformation out there, and I'd like to get that cleaned up because people are afraid of what they don't understand. And if we can get them to understand it, it is no longer an unknown, and they should no longer fear it.
Absolutely. And I'll make sure I get that those links in the show notes as well. But Ben, again, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today, drop some great knowledge to all of our listeners. And again, everyone, he's going to be with us at the conference. So please come check out. He's going to be talking about he's going to be on the panel discussion about the future of cryptocurrency and blockchain, and going to be part of an amazing conversation. So you definitely want to come listen in on that. So thank you, Ben, and we look forward to seeing you soon, man.
Thank you, Richard. Really looking forward to being at the Cryptocurrency Conference and speak soon. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode of Cryptocurrency. For more information on this episode and all of our episodes, please visit us at www.crypto-current.co. Stay up to date with the latest news in cryptocurrency by signing up for our newsletter. You will receive a daily email Monday through Sunday that is personalized and curated content specific to you and your interest, powered by artificial intelligence. Get your tickets today. We are throwing the first cryptocurrency and blockchain conference in New Orleans in March 2019. You can get your tickets today at www.crypto-current.co.
This has been another episode of Crypto Current, bringing you one step closer to becoming a crypto and blockchain aficionado. We look forward to giving you the latest in crypto news and analyses next week. Stay cryptocurrency.
Please use available exits now.